Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Is it just me, or is the second most frequently asked question you hear after how are you is, got anything new to binge watch? So we sent up the bat signal, and Gothamist arts and culture editor Ben Yakis, he's on the phone to share some new ideas to distract ourselves, if not improve our minds, maybe even entertain us. After all, that's what he does for a living. Ben joins me now from a safe haven somewhere in Gotham City. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, so we're actually coming into some new series premieres, and there's one you especially like on HBO called Run.
Yeah, there's a couple new shows coming out this month. You know, we have Insecure coming back for a fourth season at the end of the month. But this weekend on Sunday is the premiere of the show Run. And it is a comedy thriller that is like taking the rom-com, the romantic comedy genre, and putting it in a blender and then making it really propulsive, which is where the thriller element comes in. And it is, I got the screeners for 5 of the 7 episodes, and I consumed them one night, and I really, really enjoyed it. It's a very unusual kind of tone, especially for a rom-com. It's not like a gooey tone. And it's created by Vicky Jones, who you might know because she helped create Fleabag with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. They've been longtime collaborators. And Waller-Bridge is also the executive producer of Run, and she has a very small part in the show, too. And, it stars Merritt Weaver, who you, I'm sure, have seen before because she is, like, character actress extraordinaire.
But she's in the lead, right? That's what's exciting, I think, for Merritt Weaver.
Yes, exactly. It's in the last 2 years she's finally started getting these bigger roles, like on Unbelievable, the Netflix crime series, and on Godless a couple years ago on Netflix, where she won an Emmy for that role.
And she's a Marriage Story, too. She plays, I think, Scarlett Johansson's sister. She's very funny in that. Yeah.
Yeah, and she had the moment where she walks in the kitchen and then immediately walks out. That has become like this replayable GIF everyone uses. But she's a great actress who is finally getting a chance to sort of shine as the main character. And she is frustrating, mysterious. She's flirtatious. The show is incredibly sexy in a strange way. And her chemistry with her co-star, Domhnall Gleeson, is off the charts.
And what's the log line?
The log line is a woman gets a text message from someone that she used to know saying run, and she suddenly departs for New York City and meets up with this person on a train, and it goes from there. And it plays its cards close to the chest for the first couple episodes, where you have to kind of figure out who these people are to each other, why they both went to this train at the same time, and where they might be going together.
Let's listen to a little bit of the trailer for Run.
I've been totally honest with you.
Is anyone totally honest? Nobody speak, nobody
can talk. Do you want to be here with me, or is this about something else? Are you in trouble?
You get the feeling like we're walking away from something we can never walk away from.
I'm not the same person I used to be. Hello, could you take us to the nearest station?
If you help me get this badger in the van, I'll give you guys a ride.
I don't want to end here.
Oh my God!
Run.
Don't say that unless you mean it.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah.
So let's say, you know what, I gasped when I got this alert about what's coming to Hulu.
What's on Hulu, yeah.
Yes. What is on Hulu that everyone should see?
It's the best movie of 2019, Parasite, which won Best Picture and Best Director just a couple months ago, even though it feels like it was a couple years ago now. It's on Hulu as of yesterday. It has begun streaming, And so this is like the perfect time, if you've never seen it, to finally go and see it. And also, if you have seen it, you probably know then that it is a very, very rewatchable movie. Bong Joon-ho really was influenced a lot by Hitchcock. And like Hitchcock, his movies you will appreciate even more watching them second, third, fourth times. There's so many details baked into the early part of the movie, so much of the camera work and shot selection that is then paid off or reflected in different revelations towards the end of the movie. So it really, really, you can't think of a better movie to watch this weekend than Parasite.
Ben, can you hear the rain outside my window?
Yeah, it's so heavy I am as well right now.
There's a man building an ark in the corner. Okay, so my guest is Ben Yakis from Gothamist. He's giving us some binge-worthy ideas. So, you know, you've done, in the past, you've done roundups for us, like classic movies and then dramas. But right now, you are into Westerns, my friend.
Yeah, look, you know, every week it's like, what genres have we not covered yet? But this week, yeah, I looked at my two favorite, what I call, like, modern revisionist Westerns. And these are shows from the last 10, 15 years where they take the genre of the Western and kind of update it a little bit for modern audiences. And one of them is Deadwood, which was on HBO in the early aughts. And it is one of my two or three favorite television shows of all time. And I have spent a lot of my life bugging people to watch this show because I think it's a little underappreciated compared to the other shows that we always hear bandied about as the best shows ever, like Sopranos or The Wire or Breaking Bad or something.
Okay, so I see here in my notes that sometimes staring at animals staring back at you is all the entertainment I need. What does that mean, Ben?
Well, I think at this point, there are days, there are moments, there are days, there are maybe even weeks in which we are all a little stressed by the current situation. We're all trapped indoors. We have limited options for entertainment, and maybe you get a little sick of watching the same shows or whatever again and again. And you miss going out into nature, or you miss going to the zoo or something and seeing animals. Maybe you don't have an animal at home to be able to sort of like play with or anything. So I think one of the great balms that I and other people have discovered in recent weeks are watching the live stream cams from national zoos all over the country of animals, and in particular of baby animals. There's one that I love. It's called the Warrior Canine Connection. And you look up Warrior Canine Connection, you'll find this online. And they have these puppy cams. And these are like 3 to 4 week old puppies. And there are days when, if I'm really, really feeling bad, I will just put this up in the background and just have it there as like a comfort blanket of puppies on my TV screen so that I can watch that. But there's like every animal you could think of, you know. There's a panda cam, the Smithsonian National Zoo.
Ben, if you go right now, it's so funny. All the puppies are asleep. They're all just
they're all so
passed
sleepy.
Out. Oh, one little
one. Know, with the way puppies work, it's like 17 hours of the day they're asleep, and then you get like 3 to 4 hours really wild, really, really going up, all out.
So we got puppies, we got pandas, what else?
Yeah. The National Zoo in Washington also has a live cheetah cub cam, and they actually, their cheetah named Echo had 4 cubs yesterday. So this is like breaking news.
Oh my goodness.
So if you tune in there, you'll be able to see these cubs. I don't know if they have them there today, but certainly in the next couple of days, they're going to be around. And in the coming weeks, you're going to get to like really grow with them and see them do their thing. And I mean, they're adorable little cheetahs.
Oh my gosh. They are adorable.
And of course, the thing is, you go online and you search, let's say you want a monkey, you search monkey cam, you're going to find a monkey cam. The Atlanta Zoo, Kansas City Zoo, Houston Zoo, all of these zoos have live streams of their animals that you can check out. So just think about what animal you most want to see and really go wild there.
And before we go, I want you to, I want to give your latest piece a plug. You have a new game you developed called Norm Play.
Yeah, a game, a way of life, who's to say? But The idea is that we are all holed up in our apartments right now, and we are being encouraged not to go out. And for the people who don't have to be on the front lines, not frontline workers, people working in hospitals, but the rest of us who are really doing our best to socially isolate for the good of everyone, we're all going a little stir-crazy. We're all going a little nuts, not having our regular routines, not being able to go out and socialize. So what I and illustrator Matt Lipchansky came up with is this idea called norm play, which is basically where you recreate your normal life with whatever you have on hand inside your apartment. It's turning like going on the subway, going to a Broadway show, sitting in traffic, things that some of which you really miss, some of which maybe you were annoyed by, but you missed the regularity of them. Turning it into a role play scenario, essentially.
So I'm when I go to the cupboard, I'm going to the store, is what you're telling me?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we set up 10 examples, and they get a little elaborate for some of them. But for example, like, you know, you miss going to museums. Well, there's a really easy... Yeah, there's a really easy way to do that. You take everything you have in your apartment, let's say awards, things you've written, photos, you tape them up on your wall, you get index cards, and you write pretentious blurbs for each of them talking about their significance. And then you sit there, and you can kind of like look through the art on your walls.
It's up at Gothamist, Norm Play. Ben, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.